Masjid Quba, also in Medina. Quba used to be an aspect of Medina, but it's now part of Medina. When the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam made Hijra from Makkah to Medina, he stayed in Quba first before he entered into Makkah. So Quba used to be in the outskirts of Medina, but today it is part of Medina. Then we mentioned Fadlu Bina al-Masajid, the virtues of building a mosque. And we said that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, Man bana masjidan yabtaghi bihi wajha Allah. Whoever builds a masjid seeking Allah's face with that action. Says, Bana Allahu lahu mithlahu fi jannah. Allah will build his light for him inside al-Jannah. We explained his light. What does it mean? Ulama explained that with these explanations of Al-Imam al-Nawawi and others. We also said that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam gave us the command to build mosques in areas. Every area should have a mosque. We mentioned the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. It said that the Amr al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi bina'i al-masjid fi kulli dur. The Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam ordered that a mosque should be built in every area. Wa antuna wafa wa tufayyaba. And those masajids should be tunawwaf, should be clean. Wa tufayyab and perfume. The Messenger perfume alayhi salatu wa sallam. Then we discussed some rulings regarding rebuilding and renovating a masjid. Is it allowed in Islam to rebuild a mosque, break down a mosque and then rebuild it? Is it allowed? We discussed that. We also discussed selling a mosque. Is it allowed to sell a mosque? Somebody builds a mosque in this area and then he sells the mosque. Is it allowed? We discussed these matters. I'm just trying to help us and myself reorganize our minds regarding what we had discussed on Ahkam al-Masajid, Islamic rulings regarding the mosque. We also discussed converting churches to mosques, which allowed in Islam, to the church, and we converted to a mosque. We discussed this matter. Likewise, is it allowed to pray in a masjid that built its wealth from haram? We gave the verdict by Al-Najmah Da'ima that they say that Tajuzu Salatu fi kulli minhuma. It is allowed to perform Salah in a masjid that is built its wealth from haram. And that they say that Wa ismu kulli min al-muraddi wa sariq, and the sin from the one who gets involved in interest or who stole the money, he says, ala nafsihi, the sin of his stealing is on him, but the salah of the one who performs salah is valid. That was the fatwa of Al-Lajnah Da'ima on it. We also asked whether it was allowed in Islam to be taught under a mosque. Shop, the mosque up, shop down. Is it allowed? We discussed these issues in our last class. Today, inshallah, we'll proceed with the rulings of the Sharia regarding Al-Mahari. It means we are still discussing the rulings of the Sharia regarding the construction of a mosque. Part of what we see in mosque are what we refer to as mihrab. A mihrab is a concrete structure you see in the front. But these days now it is built into different structures. It may be rectangular, it may be spherical, it may be of any structure. It is desired or expected that the Imam will stay inside it when he wants to leave Salah. They call it mihrab or mahari. Although that word itself, Muharib, is pure, that word itself, Mihrab, means a secluded area. An area that is made special in an area. It's an area, and a part of it is specially dedicated for certain things. That is what is generally referred to as Mihrab. So when they now dedicate an area inside the mosque for the Imam to fall into and perform Salah, this is what we intend to discuss here. Like this place that is dedicated for the Imam, it also takes the structure of a Mihrab. Because nobody can stay here apart from the Imam. And part of what the ulama have said about Maharib is that when the Imam goes into it, the rest of the people do not see him. Once the Imam is inside here, those who are on his left and on his right, they do not see the Imam. وَقَدْ جُعِلَ الْإِمَامِ لِيُسَمَّ بِهِ. And the Imam had been appointed so that he may be followed. So how do we see the Imam? How do we follow an Imam that we don't see? Mihrab. The Imam goes into it to observe Salah. What is the ruling of creating a mihrab in a masjid? This is what we are doing. Is it allowed in Islam to put a place in a mosque and then the Imam goes into it when he wants to lead the people in prayer? Is it allowed? عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه الإمام سعيد بن منصور recorded this أثر in his Sunan. He said, قال عبد الله بن مسعود عن المحاريب. عبد الله بن مسعود said regarding the mihrab that إنما كانت للكنائس. إنما كانت للكنائس. The mihrab were in the churches, the worship places of the people of the book. He said, رضي الله عنه, فَلَا تُشَبِّهُوا بِأَعْلِ الْكِتَابِ. So don't behave like them. If you go to Catholic, Anglican, primary school, Methodist church, secondary school, Methodist church, those things are there. In the church, you see in the front of you, they take a place like a concave structure. The pastor is always, the leading pastor or reverend or whomever is always there. Ibn Mas'ud said, إِنَّمَا كَانَتْ مِنْ كَنَائِسِ. These maharib, these mihrab, the Imam goes into, they used to be in the worship places of the people of the book. فَلَا تُشَبِّهُوا بِأَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Therefore, do not imitate the people of the book. That statement was wrong. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. وَكَانَ يَقُولُ اتَّقُوا هَذِهِ الْمَحَارِيبِ. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه used to say, اتَّقُوا, avoid these maharib. Avoid it. Don't pray in them. Once he went to this second asar occurs in Al-Musannaf of Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shaybah. In the Al-Musannaf, and it is an authentic chain. It says, اتَّقُوا هَذِهِ الْمَحَارِيبِ. Avoid these mihrab that you are praying. Once we came into the masjid, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, رضي الله عنه, and the people wanted to leave Salah. So they told him to go into the mihrab. I said, no. So he said to them, اتَّقُوا هَذِهِ الْمَحَارِيبِ. Avoid this thing, رضي الله عنه. Likewise, Al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhai al-Kufi, one of the Tabi'un, he said, radiyallahu anhu, rahimahullah, la yaqumu fiha. Whenever he was so safe, I said, no, I will never stay inside that. Al-Imam ibn Abi Shayba reported that also in his Musanna. Likewise, others amongst the early Muslims, like Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, there's also the author from Ali ibn Abi Talib that he used to also prevent people from performing Salah inside the mihrab, to go out. The ulama say this is the way of the early Muslims, that they used to prevent people from performing Salah in the mihrab. By the masjid of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, he mentioned that in Al-Fath al-Bari, that the Messenger's masjid did not have a mihrab. The masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he built himself, he did not have a mihrab. A mihrab is that place the Imam falls into to perform salah. It does not have a mihrab. So that's why some of the ulama, like Al-Imam Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi, Abu Muhammad, in his book Al-Muhalla, he said to make a mihrab in a masjid is bid'ah. Ibn Hazm said that. And likewise, Al-Imam al-Tabari, Sayyid al-Mufassiri, he says it is an innovation to make a mihrab in the masjid. Likewise, Al-Imam al-Suyuti has an entire book on the subject, Ilam al-Ari, بِحُدُوثِ بِدْعَةِ الْمَحَارِيبِ إِلَامُ الْأَرِيبِ بِحُدُوثِ بِدْعَةِ الْمَحَارِيبِ I have it. A way of informing the people, the intellectual, regarding the innovation, the newly invented matter. What is that matter? Mahārīb. The Messenger's Masjid did not used to have mihrab. Also, Al-Imam Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah also mentioned that it is an innovation. And Shaykh Ali Mahfouz, he has a book, Al-Ibda'. He mentioned issues of innovations in the book, Al-Ibda'. Ali Mahfouz, it's a very old book. It's one of the most reliable books of the people of Sunnah regarding issues of bid'ah. He also mentioned that to have mihrab in masajid is an innovation. Likewise, Al-Imam Mula Al-Iqal, all these people say that it is not allowed for an individual to have a mihrab in the masjid. Likewise, this Shaykh Khairuddin Wali, one of the students of Shaykh Al-Albani, he also has a book, Al-Masjid in Islam. He mentioned in it that it is an innovation. And Shaykh Al-Albani himself, in his book, As-Samar al-Mustafa, in the fourth volume of that book, he also mentioned that having mihrab. The reason we are mentioning all this is that these days, when people find something strange, they want to oppose it and say, oh, which one are you bringing? They've been saying it long ago. It's not a new thing. Some of the people can say, I want to see men, so they, I want to pass in for tell what you are. I tell what you are, I'm not telling. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. It's not new that people said that's an innovation. It's been said long ago. May Allah forgive us. It is not correct to have mahārīb. Although some of the ulama say that it is allowed, if a person performs a salah, if salah is invalid, ulama say the salah is valid. Because the likes of Al-Imam Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, Sayyid al-Sadi, he was reported to have performed salah in a mihrab. So ulama say, because of himself and one of us among, some of us among the early Muslims, they overlook it and perform the salah there. So you can pray there, the salah is allowed, but the action itself is an innovation. If you want to build a mosque today, don't put mihrab. That is the meaning of what you are saying. If you want to build a mosque today, don't put mihrab. If you have a mihrab, know the ruin. A Muslim always knows what he is doing or she is doing. In Islam. So mihrab is not allowed in the masjid. It's an innovation. May Allah protect you. The other issue we like to discuss is about al-manara or al-manarat. Manara. Minaret is an Arabic word and the side. When they say minaret, they are talking about what? Manara. Our manarat is a purely Arabic word. Likewise, the word mu'azzin is an English word now. M-U-E-Z-Z-I-N is an English word now. And it means somebody who is calling to salah. If you are translating, you don't need to say a caller to prayer. Just say mu'azzin. M-U-E-Z-Z-I-N. It's an accepted English word now. Likewise, the word imam. Imam is not an English word, but now it's accepted as an English word. If you use it, you don't need to put it in italics. You leave it like that. It's an accepted English word. If you check the dictionary, you will see the meanings of these words that I say now in the dictionary. So manara, minare, in mosque, in dajwe. You see, Is it allowed in Islam to build a masjid and make it have a minaret or minaret? Ulama say it is allowed. It is allowed to build a masjid and add a minaret to it because of the hadith of the mother of Zayd ibn Thabit. That hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. Zayd ibn Thabit, you remember him? The one who writes the Quran for the Messenger alayhi salam. His mother. She had a house not far away from the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. She said, كان بيتي من أطول بيت حول المسجد. My house من أطول بيت حول المسجد was among the tallest buildings around the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad. He said, وَكَانَ بِلَالٌ. And Bilal, the messenger's muazzin, one of the messenger's muazzin, رضي الله عنهم, يُؤَذِّنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفَجْرَ. He used to pronounce the azan of Fajr on what? On that tall building around the masjid. فَيَأْتِي بِسَحْرٍ. So he will come in the early morning. فَيَجْلِسُ عَلَى الْبَيْتِ. He will relax, sit down on top of the building. يَنْزُرُ إِلَى الْفَجْرِ. He will be observing the coming out of dawn. فَإِذَا رَآهُ تَمَطَّى. When he sees Fajr, tamattu, he will see that he proceeds with what? With the Adhan. He makes the Adhan, and Fajr is out, he pronounces the Adhan on that tall building. This hadith, Al-Imam Abu Dawud, who collected this hadith in his Sunan, it says, Babu al-Adhan fawqa al-manara. He gave it a tabwi. Babu al-Adhan fawqa al-manara. This is a hadith chapter regarding calling Adhan on top of the manara. So they give that as the evidence for it. Likewise, Al-Imam Ibn Qudama Al-Muqdas in his book Al-Mughni, he also gave this hadith as evidence for making a manara, a minaret, on top of a masjid. Likewise, Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi in his book of Sunan al-Kubra, he also gave this hadith as evidence to have a minaret in a masjid. In the stories regarding the issues of Azad, we remember that when the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was talking with the Muslims about what are we going, how do we invite the rest of the Muslims for Salah? How do we invite them for Salah? One of the Muslims said that he had a dream, and that in that dream, رَأَيْتُ رَجِلًا, I saw a man, كَأَنَّ عَلَيْهِ ثَوْبَيْنِ أَخْضَرَيْنِ, as if that man was wearing two green cloths, or two green garments, فَقَامَ عَلَى الْمَسْجِدِ فَأَذَّنَ. That man stood upon on top of the masjid and did what? Made Adhan. Ulama used this also, that the Adhan should be pronounced outside the masjid on top of a height. That height is the minaret al-manara. So ordinarily, when we build a minaret in a masjid, our intention should be that the muazzin will go upon that minaret to pronounce the Adhan. That should be our intention when we build a masjid and we want to have a minaret on it. Our intention should be that the muazzin will go on top of it to pronounce the Adhan. If you ask me, does that mean that he cannot use microphone? I say for him to do that is better for him than using microphone. Because the ahkam of Adhan regarding him and the rest of the people who will hear him are dependent on that. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, Al-Imam al-Nawawi and others, when they discuss who must come to the masjid, they say those ones who hear the azan of the muazzin, when that muazzin is not using a microphone, they say the
the Muslim, the praying person who has to come to the masjid, is the one who will hear the adhan of that muazzin when that muazzin is not using a mukaddira to stop. You will ask, what is the evidence? Okay? When the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was telling the Muslims, the blind Muslim told him, the Messenger of Allah, I hear the adhan. At that time, we are then using the microphone, so that ruling is based on it. They always say that the ruling is based on a voice, somebody. That's why one of the things, as is mentioned by Imam Abu Dawud in his Sunan, and he got a hadith for them, is that the one who should be appointed as a muazzin should be somebody with a loud voice. So when this person with a loud voice go on top of a building and announces Salah, Allahu Akbar, Ya Allah, Salah, all those who hear his voice must come for that Salah. But if it's a microphone, if they will hear his voice ordinarily, they must come. If not, it is not within their room. It is within the next one that is nearest to them, whose voice they will hear. That's why if you live in an area where you hear adhan from five masajids, where do you go to? Which of the masjids does it become obligatory on you? Even though some of them, before you get to the masjid, they will finish that salah. So where do you go? You go to the one that is nearest to you. Where when the muazzin calls the adhan with an ordinary voice, you will hear his adhan. This is what is most obligatory on you. So the point is that from the sunnah of adhan is that the person who is making the adhan should make the adhan on top of a height. It is that height that ulama refer to as what? Minare. Now we call in English, or they say al-manara or al-manara. So these are the reports that they have employed to affirm that ruling. Abdullah ibn Shaqiq, one of the tabi'un, his name is popular in a mas'ala. Who will remind us the mas'ala? Abdullah ibn Shaqiq. Abdullah ibn Shaqiq is popular regarding a mas'ala. The mas'ala of salah. Does anyone who leaves salah without performing it, does he become a kafir or not? It was Abdullah ibn Shaqiq who has the affair, who reported from the Sahaba that all the Sahaba that he saw believed that anyone who abandoned Salah is a kafir. Although there are explanations on that, we are just talking about Ibn Shaqiq. He said, رَضِيَهُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ السُنَّةِ الْأَذَانِ فِي الْمَنَارَةِ مِنَ السُنَّةِ الْأَذَانِ فِي الْمَنَارَةِ وَالْإِقَامَةِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. From the sunnah is that you do what? You make adhan on the manara. And you make iqama where? Inside masjid. Adhan outside masjid, on top of a high. So in a masjid like this, if the muazzin goes up on top of the third one and begins to announce, Allahu Akbar, this is better for you. Now, there are those amongst the ulama like Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen and others who say that if the mosque hangs their microphone on top of that minaret or manara, it has the ruling that the muazzin has stood on top of the manara. So take that way. When they hang the microphone, the speaker of the phone on top of the manara, it takes the ruling as if the individual himself, the muazzin, has gone up the manara. But now, you will know from where that Sheikh was taking his statement from, now that you understand the basic ruling regarding al-manara and al-adhan. Abdullah ibn Shaqiq radiyallahu anhu, he said, مِنَ السُنَّةِ الْأَذَانُ فَوْقَ الْمَنَارَ أو الْأَذَانُ فِي الْمَنَارَ والإقامة في المسجد. That affair occurs also in Al-Mustannaf by Imam Ibn Abi Shayba. The reason we mention this book is we should go back and check them. Al-Mustannaf Ibn Abi Shayba, Sunan Sa'id Ibn Mansur, all these books, we should go back and check them. It's the reason why we mention them. It will help affirm what you know and understand regarding the issue. May Allah make us understand better than it is said. What else amongst the ulama says, Al-Imam ibn Qudama al-Muqdisi, they all say that it is encouraged that the muazzin goes out and makes the adhan on top of a height. That's also the fatwa of Al-Lajna al-Ja'ima, that the individual should make the adhan on top of a height. The other issue is Al-Qubba. Al-Qubba, the dome. The dome. What is the meaning of having a dome? We know the dome. The spherical structure we see on top of masajid. See me that there. Is it allowed to have a dome? The masjid, like the manara? Others amongst the ulama employ the verse in Surah An-Nur. Fi buyutin adhina Allahu an turfa'a. Allah says the masajid are houses where Allah has approved that they be raised. They say it means it refers to Al-Manara. Some ulama use that as evidence, that verse from the Quran. But the hadith is clearer and more straightforward. Allahu Akbar. Of course, the hadith has come to explain the Quran. Now about the dome. Is it allowed to have a masjid with a dome? It is referred to as Al-Qubba. Al-Lajna al-Da'ima. We know Al-Lajna al-Da'ima, Al-Lajna al-Da'ima we are talking about. This is a group of most elderly, most scholarly scholars in Saudi Arabia. It's not just about scholarship, also about what? Age. They are elder scholars in Saudi Arabia, usually 6, 7, 8, or within this range. So, they sit down, they discuss the matter, and they issue a verdict regarding it. So Al-Lajna al-Da'ima, the standing committee, Da'ima, something that is continuous. So you say standing, Al-Lajna, committee, a group of them. That is what it means when we say Al-Lajna al-Da'ima. So don't say Sheikh Al-Lajna al-Da'ima. It's because you don't understand what it means to say Al-Lajna al-Da'ima. That's why I'm explaining. It's a public class. So everything must be explained. If you don't understand, please ask. May Allah make us understand better than it is explained. Al-Lajna al-Da'ima say that la na'lamu harajan fi dhalik. We don't see anything wrong about that, about having doom in the masjid. La na'lamu harajan fi dhalik. We don't know anything wrong about that. They say, إِذَا كَانَ الْأَمْرُ كَمَا ذُكِرَ فِي السُّؤَالِ. If the matter is as was mentioned in the question. The answer to the question is, what was the question? The question was that the individual asked, is it allowed to have domes in the masjid for aerating the masjid and for making light in the masjid? The light of the masjid will be hung inside the dome. And then it can provide space for air to relax. They say, Lajna al-Da'ima said, La na'alamu harajan fi dhalik iza. We don't know anything wrong about that. If it is as you have explained in the question, that if the dome is placed in the masjid with the purpose of aeration or with the purpose of what? Ida'a. That is tanwir. To make light in the masjid or to make aeration in the masjid. If this is the intention, there is nothing wrong about it. Others amongst the ulama, like Khairuddin Wani, he said, I think, Hafizahullah. What I have in my mind is that Sheikh Khairuddin is still alive. He's one of the elders amongst the students of Sheikh Al-Albani. Rahimahullah. He has this book, Al-Masjid fil Islam, Ahkamuhu Adabuhu wa Bida'uhu. The mosque in Islam, its ruling, the manners regarding the masjid, and what the innovation that the people have brought into the masjid. He said, wa hadhihi aidan, taming this dome, al-kubab, al-kubba, mimma qallada fihi al-muslimun ghayrahum. He said, وَهَذِهِ أَيْضًا Even this dome. What do we call it in Yoruba? I know that Manara is Soro. What about Do? The person who knows Yoruba very well. Do! What do they call Do in Yoruba? Huh? The Sheikh says, Huwa aw hiya aidan mimma qallada fihi al-muslimuna ghayrahum. It is also from among the things that the Muslims have copied other people. Meaning that essentially it is not part of the culture of Islam and Muslims. When the Messenger built a masjid, he did not put a dome, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He did not put a dome, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you see too, he even said that Sheikh Wa'il, Khairuddin al-Wa'il, he said, when the people put a dome, they spend a lot of money, that's waste of money. I know that the dome take a lot of money. A dome can take 1/3 of the whole money with which they built a masjid. The old new mosque is one example. Let them be hearing that one. I knew when they were doing the money fundraising, somebody was asking them, why this worry? Why do you want to put all this million into a building, a dome? It has no value in the Sharia at all. In fact, others amongst the ulama say, and that's where we are coming back to. They say if it is the media to ta'abbud, if somebody is putting a dome with an intention that he got in Lawanshe, we are worshipping Allah, it says Sahiya Bid'ah. It says an innovation. He says, but if it is for any other purpose, to achieve that purpose, he says, but the condition that is that it must not be for Ibn al-Mat, it must not imply wasting resources. So the reason for putting a dome in a mosque will determine whether that dome is allowed or not. If you don't have a need, today we have many architectural solutions to aerating and lighting a mosque without putting a dome. So why put a dome? So that some of that amongst the ulama say, if it is also for the intention of beautifying the mosque, it is also an innovation. Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an tashmeed al-masajid. He prohibited elongating and beautifying extraneously. We are coming to that, a masjid. Extraneous beautification of a masjid was prohibited by the Prophet Muhammad. Umar radiallahu anhu says, when you build a masjid, protect the people from the sun and protect them from the rain. The salatu hamiruha. Do not go and start painting them with red colors. Wala tusaffiruha. Neither to you paint them with yellow colors. Allah tafsatina al-nas. Allah tafsatina al-nas. So that you do not bring fitna to the people. This is exactly what we are doing today. Umar radiallahu anhu. We are coming back to that. The point is, if the dome was included in a mosque with the intention of providing light or aeration to the masjid, when that itself will not imply wastage, then it is allowed. But if that itself will imply wastage, then it is not allowed. If it is done with the intention of worship, then it is an innovation. Because there is no worshipping with a day that the Messenger has not approved. Alayhi salatu wa salam. I hope we get this mas'ala. There's some tafsir, there's some explanations concerning what the ruling will be. I hope that is clear. A minaret is a sunnah from the sunan of masajid. Minaret, the store of the masjid. The worst thing we do there is to keep a microphone on top of it. The worst. Otherwise, the best thing you do there is to climb it and make the adhan. The best. But at least you put your microphone on top of it. The speaker, not a club. The speaker of the microphone, you put it on top of it. Like the Abuja National Mosque. It's about the tallest building in Abuja. I don't know whether they have changed it now. It used to be the tallest building. See the microphone? Oh, it's good. Sunnah. But for any other than that, no. As for the dome, how much do you think the Abuja Mosque, the dome of that Mosque, will cost?
You don't know how much you think it costs. Some say it is gold plated, some say it is silver plated, some say it is copper plated, whatever plate it has. The plating is not a great job, and it's not something that is small, it is expensive, very deep. There are many architectural solutions that will come in respect to that. So that is about the dome in the building of a mosque. There's also the issue of makanun arfa'u min makanin ma'mumin, makanin imam, rafu'un makan, raising the place where the imam stays above the rest of us. Like they did in this our masjid. Although it's small. Some of the ulama say it is small, like al-imam al-Shafi'i rahmahullah. Likewise, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. They say it is small. They even say if it is up to the qama of a person, the height of a normal human being is allowed. So the imam will be on top. I went for a program in OAE. I think a few months ago. They went and put some chairs together and said, I should climb the chair up. Take this further. The chair is up. So I was looking, how do I climb this chair and go up? And they were shooting that program live on their screen there. So what is the essence of going up when you are already, what do you call it? Projecting. What's the essence? You want to make a fool of the person? So some of the ulama say, for salah, if the imam stands on top of something that is as high as a normal human being, imam is here, the rest of us, we are down. They say it is allowed. One of those who said that was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Shawkani wrote this book regarding the issue. تحرير الدلائل على مقدار ما يجوز بين الإمام والمؤتل من الارتفاع والانخفاض. تحرير الدلائل investigating the evidence regarding على مقدار ما يجوز بين الإمام والمؤتل. Regarding what is it that is allowed between the imam and the person following the imam, min al-irtifa, regarding raising the height, or what in khifa, or coming down. There are two issues there. Is it allowed for the imam to be up, we are down? Is it allowed for us to be up and the imam is down? Those are the two issues we're discussing in this book. Others who discussed it before him, before Imam Shawkani, others discussed it. But the point, ikhwa, is that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, affairs will always go back to him, no matter how ulama differ. Because some of them say it is outrightly wrong. And Imam Hamid al-Ghazali, he said anybody who did that does not have salah. Let's say the other side of the khilaf. Anybody who prayed on top of a house when the rest of them are down, he does not have salah. And that is the position of Al-Imam Al-Awza'i and Al-Imam Malik. They say he does not have salah. The others say there is no problem, he has salah. Let him go even as far as the height of a human being. So how do we resolve the matter? That is why the deen is not based upon human beings. It is based upon the statement from Allah, which is wahy, that He will give us directly, or that He will send His messenger to teach us about. So when there is khilaf, فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, the ruling regarding it is with Allah. Otherwise, if it is opinions of ulama alone, where will we be? Some say if you stay on it, you don't have salah. From there you say, there's no problem, give me malame. So how do we resolve the matter? The Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wa salam, he said, إذا أمر الرجل القوم إذا أمر الرجل القوم فلا يقم في مكان أرفع من مقامه. إذا أمر الرجل القوم فلا يقم في مكان أرفع من مقامهم. When imam leads the people in salah, فَلَا يَقُمْ فِي مَقَامٍ, let him not stay in a place أَرْفَعَ مِنْ مَقَامِهِمْ, that is higher than their own. And that is the Sabah. The Messenger said that, alayhi salam. That hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. It also occurs in Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud. It is an authentic hadith. The Messenger said that, alayhi salatu wa salam. We would have also heard the story of Huzayf ibn al-Yaman and Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari. Huzayf ibn al-Yaman and Abu Mas'ud were in Iraq, in Madain. They wanted to lead a people in Salah, and Huzayf was to lead the Salah. The riwayah that says it was Ammar ibn Yasir that led that Salah is Shaz and Da'ifa. It's weak, it's not authentic. Because some say it was Ammar, it's not authentic. It was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that led that salah. It was Huzayf ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhum that led that salah. When Huzayf was going up the dukan, the height, the dukan is something that is high, they used to sit down on top of it, like a table or a chair. He was going on top of it to lead the salah. Abu Mas'ud grabbed his sword and drew him back. So he went back, he followed him. So after the salah, Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Alam ta'lam annahum yunhawna an zalik? Did you not know that they used to be prohibited? Who used to be prohibited? The companion. We used to be prohibited from that. And then Huzayf ibn al-Yaman said, Bala, yes, you are correct. Zakartu shinna radadtani. I remember at the time that you brought me back. When you brought me back, when you drew me back, I remember that, yes, we were prohibited. This is evidence that somebody may know the ruling regarding a matter and he will be acting opposite of it because he forgot. He forgot, he didn't remember. So you remind him, matter that the ruling on, sorry. It also shows that when you are reminded regarding a matter, don't dishonor yourself by insisting upon error when you know the truth. You will be disgracing yourself. The honor is in leaving something that is wrong for something that is correct. Not insisting upon something that is wrong. So it was a virtue, rahmah from Allah, for Huzayfa, that he was reminded by who? Abu Mas'ud al-Ansar. So he went back as he was told. That is also evidence that the Messenger used to prohibit. Although we heard the statement directly, فَلَا تَقُمْ فِي مَكَانٍ أَرْفَعَ مِنْ مَقَامِهِمْ. That was the direct statement of the Prophet. But the second one is an inference that Abu Mas'ud was reminding Huzayf that he did not know that we used to be prohibited. He said, oh yes, I remembered when you drew my attention to it. Likewise, Al-Imam al-Tabarani reported an author from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that one day he was with a group of people, somebody wanted to lead them in Salah. The man climbed the place to lead the Salah, he told him, come down! We have been prohibited from leading Salah while standing above and the people are below. So this is evidence that the basic ruling is that we should not have these things where the Imam will climb up above the people and the people are below him. Although the other one is allowed, it is allowed that
the imam is below and the people are above. But it is not allowed that the imam is above something and the rest of the people are below. Although some among the ulama say if the imam is above and there are first, second row or even the first row, people are there with him, it has cancelled the ruling that he is alone there. They say that too. There are those who said that among the people of knowledge. Al-Imam Dar al-Qutni, when he related the ahadith that we have read in his book As-Sunan, he says, بَابُ نَهْيِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنْ يَقُومَ الْإِمَامُ فَوْقَ شَيْءٍ وَالنَّاسُ خَلْفَهُ. بَابُ نَهْيِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. The chapter regarding the prohibition by the Prophet صلى الله عليه. What did he prohibit? أَنْ يَقُومَ الْإِمَامُ, that the Imam stands فَوْقَ شَيْءٍ, on top of something, وَالنَّاسُ خَلْفَهُ, and the people are down below him. The Prophet predicted that, alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-Imam al-Shawkani gave a lot of statements regarding this in this book, because his opinion also is that it is absolutely prohibited. Whether it is big or small or minor, it is prohibited that the Imam comes on top of a height to lead the salah. Among those who also gave that prohibition was Al-Imam al-Albani in his book As-Samar al-Mustafa. He also said that it is outrightly prohibited. Although he made mention of things that appear as if they are not of the opinion that the person does not have a salah. They rather opine that the person has a salah, but he is seen upon that salah because he is disobeying the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. However, you may ask, this will lead us to another issue. Those among the ulama who say that the person can pray on top of something as high as the height of a human being, where do they see that statement from? Were they just talking? It's a valid question. Where they picked it from the grapevine? Where did they get that opinion from? What made them say that? The answer to that is contained in a hadith that occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. The hadith is the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'd ibn Sa'id, the last companion who died in Medina. What's his name? Sahal ibn Sa'd ibn Sa'id, radiyallahu anhu. This companion has something funny about him, radiyallahu anhu. He lived very long. The last companion who died in Medina, Salih ibn Sa'd ibn Sa'd. Allah gave him long life. Long, he lived long. Far above 100. Salih ibn Sa'd. And he married a lot of wives. Yes. He reached Siyam Walani, Nubala, you see. He was married, he was divorced, he was married. They gave the number that I won't give. If you check the book, you will see. Radiallahu anhu. And he was also stupendously rich amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. Salih ibn Sa'd. Aside. He explained that one day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told a carpenter in Medina to make a minbar for him. That was why I said this issue will lead up to the issue of minbar. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam asked a carpenter in Medina to make a minbar for him. When this man made the minbar, he made the minbar to have three steps. 1, 2, 3. That is the minbar of the Messenger alayhi salam. Not only that, the minbar of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has a staircase facing the people. The staircase of his minbar faces you, not the other way around. We do it now according to our thinking, not according to Sunnah. Sunnah is that the staircase should face the people, so that when the Imam is climbing the minbar, he is backing the rest of us. So he will climb and then fall. when he wants to make his khutbah. He will climb and then turn. Not that he will turn on the ground and climb. It is wrong. We hope that one of us, Allah will empower him to build a mosque and build it like this. So people will have to order it, it's in Yajajan is Sunnah. So we tell them, go to Makati, so you mean by what you do, Sunnah. Because it's very common, people think it's the other way. Even a university masjid is built like all you masjid. The same way, when people build a masjid, do something that is of Islam, they should find out what is the ruling of Islam on it. They think that just like that, only that you may Allah forgive all of us. So, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam will climb this the minbar. So they brought the minbar to the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he wanted to perform salah, ordinarily what he does on the minbar is what? Khutbah. His khutbah, his sermon, his admonitions, he gives them on the minbar. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three. One, two, three. You remember the hadith of Abu Hurairah about Ramadan. That the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was climbing the minbar. He climbed one, he said what? Ameen. He climbed the second one, he said what? And then he climbed the third one, he said what? Ameen. Those are three steps. One, two, three. Minbar was sunnah. And then if you take the people, the staircase will be in front of the people like this. That is why among the things Ulama count as innovations in the masjid is that even these three churches, people will now be, it will now be long and it will be cutting the first row. They say it's an innovation. Some people make the minbar correctly facing the people, but it will be so long and big and like 10 staircases even. So the imam will be climbing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And if it's facing the people, I've seen it before, go to Egypt. I've seen not one, not two in Cairo. See, this minbar is not minbar of Sunnah. You climb one, two, three, like four or five. You will not stand up like this, looking at everybody. It's wrong. So in that, the minbar will be so long that it will conflict with the first row of the masjid. It is wrong. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, about the sufu. He says, man, qata'ahu, qata'ahu Allah. Whoever cuts the stuff, may Allah cut him off. وَمَنْ وَصَلَهُ وَصَلَهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever connects it, may Allah connect him. What does it mean? Whoever cuts it, may Allah cut him off of his rahmah. Whoever connects it, may Allah connect that person with Allah's rahmah. The point is, the minbar has three staircases, and that the staircase will face the people. So that when the imam climbs it, he will back the people. The Prophet did this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he started salah on top of that minbar. Allahu Akbar. He made ruku. He stood up from ruku. And then he came back to Akari. He was walking behind. Should I describe this walking to you? This was what he did. He was on the minbar, and then he was walking backwards like this. You see? So when the imam is coming, he climbs the minbar like this, and then he turns to the people. When he's making khutbah. But when the messenger used the minbar for salah, he was performing the salah, and then after he rose up from sujood, from ruku, he went backwards. Like this, one, two, three, he came down, he made sajda on the foot, at the foot of the minbar. After the few sajda came, he stood up again and climbed it again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is the evidence that those people use. They say the Prophet has prayed on top of something. الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله، العدس، الإمام النووي، الإمام أحمد بن حنبل، الإمام علي بن المديني، including الإمام البخاري، that is their opinion. The Prophet prayed on top of something, and I became alone. Because that is part of his salah. Unless you want to say that one is saying is not valid. The other say, yeah, the Prophet prayed upon something, Shubolalai. Because after the salah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ayyuhanna, O people, innama fa'altu hadha, I have only done what I have done, lita'atammu bi, so that you can follow me, wa lita'alamu salati, and know how I have been praying, tell him. So ulama say, this is mas'alatun mu'allalatun. The messenger has described why he climbed it. If you climb it for the same reason now, but if it is not for the same reason now, if you pray on top of your minbar in your masjid so that you can teach the people salah and you tell them, see how I did my ruku, see how I did this. Ulama ibn al-Hafiz ibn Hajar ibn said this hadith is evidence that you are praying and you can still be teaching salah when you are praying. Imam al-Shawkani, many of them, so this is evidence that it is not a general thing that he was doing every day. That was why I said that the reason I do this one today is so that you can see me and learn. It's not that you should be doing it every day. So two things we have combined. It is not allowed to pray on a platform. But those who say it is allowed to pray on a platform, you know where they are coming from, go? So that's why sometimes we take some of these matters, we take it easy with people. When you see them who, they may not know the reason for their opinion. But when you know the reason for their opinion, you'll be waiting for the time to be able to explain to them and enlighten them. These things should not be quarrel. Because the matter, it should not let this matter. It should not let this matter. So, they say if the Prophet prayed on top of that three staircase, one, two, three, then it is allowed. So that the people can be seeing the Imam. Ulama say no. The Prophet only mentioned alayhi salatu wa salam what he did to be allowed in a particular circumstance. What is that circumstance? لِيُعَلِّمَ النَّاسَ صَلَاتَهُ so that he can teach the people his own salah. So he can stand on the minbar, perform salah on it. And when you want to make sujood, how will you do it? You see the difference now. So if you want to say that is the sunnah you are following, no problem. When you are praying on top of this thing, if you want to make that, what will you do? You come back and you make that down on the ground. If that is the sunnah you want to follow. But to make us understand that step is not a sunnah, it's just something that happened, like they say, waqi'atul ayn. Something that just happened. It is not a ruling. It does not have la hukma laha. Waqi'atul ayn, la hukma laha. Something that just happens accidentally. It does not have a ruling. You don't base a ruling upon it. And Imam al-Shawkani gave these explanations in this book. He also gave it in his book, Nailul Awtar. Others too, like Sheikh Al-Albani also gave it in As-Samar al-Mustatab. Others too. Sheikh Abdul-Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, he also has some very beautiful explanations on this. All of them trying to say that in the circumstance of need, an individual can do that. He is also among those who say, Sheikh Ibn Baz, that if a person performs a salah on a height, a half salah, the salah is valid. Although they generally discourage that the individual goes above that height. I think these two issues are clear. The issue of standing upon a platform to perform salah and the issue of the hukum of a minbar. There are two issues that we have brought in one. Al-Imam ibn Daqiq al-Eid, rahimahullah, he is among those who say that hadith, the hadith of Sa'd ibn Sa'd, is not evidence to say it is allowed to perform salah on a platform. It says, "Man arada an yastadilla bihi ala jawaz al-irtifa'i min ghayri qasd al-ta'lim, man arada an yastadilla bihi." Whoever intends to make this as an evidence, ala jawaz al-irtifa'i من غير قصد التعليم to say that it is allowed to pray upon a platform even though you are not intending that you want to teach the people. Lam yastaqim. Lam yastaqim. That person has not given that opinion correctly. لِأَنَّ اللَّهُ لَا يَتَنَاوَلُهُ. Because the expressions of that hadith does not include that you can do it at all times. It does not include that. That hadith shows that it is only in the circumstance of teaching people you can pray upon a platform. Let me say this. People cannot say, I want to join it. What they are saying is that, Elama, you didn't say that. We are saying that you should understand the ruling, we should understand the ruling, and we should do the correct thing. We should agree together to do the thing that is correct. Go. If you don't agree to do it, we know that it is wrong. You too, you will know in your mind that it is wrong. And when we build a masjid, we will not put it there. It will be a flat level land like that of the Prophet Muhammad. So that the day that Tan Abi Ba Wali Allah, the one who will follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Wali Allah is the one who do everything like the Messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with good intention. So we are not saying this to say, when they do something, it's about Qatar, if you didn't say that one. Take it along with you. May Allah protect us. Aside the issue of the minbar, let us discuss Zakhrafatul Masjid, designing a mosque. Although we mentioned it in passing, or we should leave it and go to another mosque. We should discuss it. Designing a mosque. What is the ruling? Well designed mosque. People say, Makkah, Medina, and God, that is not evident. What they are doing in Makkah, Medina is not evident. Evidence is where? Quran and what? Sunnah. Everybody is bounded by that. Those are Makkah, Medina. Makkah, want to eat. Does it mean that it is right? Does not mean that it is right. If they do something that is right in line with Kitab, Sunnah, every single one is right. There are fatwa, some of the ulama, Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah and others, they did. Yes, you see people violating it. In fact, inside Haram itself. So that doesn't mean anything. The ruling is regarding the Sharia, the Deen, Quran, Sunnah, Athar, Salah. This is Deen. Not the action of Quran and Allah. May Allah protect us. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu reported from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. That hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. It's also in Sunan al-Nasa'i and Sunan ibn Majah. It is la yaqumu, la taqumu sa'a, la taqumu sa'atu hatta يتباهى الناس في المساجد. لا تقوم الساعة. The last hour will not be established. حتى يتباهى الناس في المساجد. Until people are building mosques to do competition. Which one is more beautiful? Our mosque, the minbar is gold. Our own will be platinum. Or diamond. This competition is one of the points of the last hour. So now those who do computer software programs, they bring you the most beautiful mosques in the world. The most beautiful mosques. Because if something was the most beautiful, the other one is what? More beautiful. And the other one is what? Beautiful. Is لا تقوم الساعة حتى يتباهى الناس في المساجد. The last hour will not be established until the people begin to compete in terms of the beauty and the height of their mosque. Our own is bigger, our own is finer. Somebody told me, Lekki Mosque and was it Abuja was concerned? Which one is finer and bigger? I just smiled. So this is wrong in Islam. Umar radiallahu anhu. They are all four. But let's stop at that. Like the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas that he reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. that he says, ما أمرت لتشييد المساجد. I have not been ordered to design and heighten the masjid. Allah didn't tell me to do that. Umar radiallahu anhu ordered the people to go and build masjids in the areas and districts. He says, your call, and then he instructed them. أكن الناس من المطر. أكن الناس من المطر. Protect the people from the storm. He's instructing them about how to build the masjid. وإياك أن تحمر أو تصفر. But be careful that they should not be painted red, neither should they be painted yellow. That is designing them with red and yellow. فتفتن الناس. So that the people do not come into fitna. Some of the people, when they get to Mecca or Medina, it is the masajid, the beauty of the masajid. The door. Say, this one is fine. They bring their cloth and begin to rub it to it. They think that that was how the Prophet Jesus, alayhi salatu wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built his masjid with clay. And the tree, the trunk of palm tree, those were the pillars. And the palm trunk, the leaves of palm tree, were the roof. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it rains, one day it rains, the Messenger of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made sajda, and the water of clay that attached his head was flowing down his face. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can't be better than them. So they were not doing the masjid. So Omar said, Akinna nas min Allah, protect the people from the rain, that is, put a zinc, put a roof. But be careful that don't begin to design and design and design. Don't do that. Radiallahu anhu. But Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, says, La tuzakri kunnaha. I'm sure that you still design the mosque. Kama zakhrafat al-Yahud wa al-Nasara. Like the Jews and the Christians designed their worship places. I know, tell you, they do it too, radiallahu anhu. Ibn Abbas. We do it. Of course, Muslims have told us that we what the Christians do. That is what the Muslims say. Oh, I want to touch him. He is fast. So, the example to tell us to design the mosque, we are going to copy it from the church. People are from misguided. Didn't Allah warn us about that? لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ. Don't let the تَقَلُّب be changing, the how they change over time in terms of their wealth and what they do with the money. Don't let that deceive you. Because مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ. They only have a little time to spend. وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ. مَأْوَى is a place somebody ends his journey. If father did, Bawa, see, where you end, your end is in Jahannam. So don't let your own deceive you, don't be like them. When Umar radiallahu anhu was telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you too, you are sleeping mat is on your, the marks of mat are on your body, and you are the messenger of Allah, and say, oh, say, but even the Jews, the Persians, these are the built mansions, they do, say, no, we, our home is different. This dunya, we came to work here so that we can enjoy more than all of that in Al-Jannah. And I never told the people, what is enjoyment in this dunya? Tell me a thing of enjoyment. What is the thing of enjoyment in this dunya? What? Women? What is enjoyment? Food? Now that every food we are eating itself is a problem. Food! Food now is trouble. So people now have food restrictions now. You don't know? There are people who cannot eat eba. You know that? Eba, eba. If you catch the food they can eat, I know somebody who cannot eat through his throat. He has cancer of the throat. So that part of the esophagus has been removed. He feeds with liquid food and mulch beans, the mulch it and put it there. He has a sack somewhere here He opens it like a tube, they pour the food there. He's a staff of NNPC, he's a big staff, he's a big man, if you see him, you can't know. So what is the enjoyment of this business? Car? Or house? If you build a house today, in 5 years time, you don't like the house again. Do you know that? No matter how you design the house, if you build a house today, why is it that when the last president went, they had to renovate after all before a new president came in? Why? Because some of those things he used would have been obsolete. One man told me that anytime he travels, his wife is in trouble. If the wife travels, he is in trouble. If the wife travels, he is in trouble. If he travels, the wife is in trouble. Because they are alone in their house. And this is the house like the coffer of a king. So what is the enjoyment in this dunya? What is it? The point is that we should not be looking at the apparent financial prosperity with the non-Muslims and think that we too must be like them. No. Don't copy their own. Be yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself. May Allah protect us. So they are designing their worship places. Does not mean we should design our own worship places. And Imam Ibn Battalib Maghribi, rahimahullah, when he commented about this asar of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says, هَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ السُنَّةَ فِي بُنْيَادِ الْمَسْجِدِ. He says, this is evidence that the sunnah regarding building a masjid is what al-qasdu, middle qas, وَتَرْكُ الْغُرُوبِ فِي تَحْسِينِهِ. Al-qasdu, وَتَرْكُ الْغُرُوبِ فِي مَلَىٰ فِي تَحْسِينِهِ. Being of a middle qas, and not going excessive in terms of beautifying the masjid. So let us avoid beautifying a mosque. This mosque is okay now. It's not beautified. This masjid we are in. It's one of the reasons I like the masjid. It's okay. Average. Rich can pray, poor can pray, middle class can pray, everybody can pray. Senators pray. You don't complain that it is dirty. It's okay, inshallah. Even the tiles are not distracting. If you pray in some masajid, it is the trash of the tiles that you'll be counting. This is what the companions were saying that we should avoid. So that a person performs salah and he can't remember what he read in the first rak'ah. He's counting the tiles. So some people will look up and say, oh no, a woman's asking, and then they'll be too. So let us not do all of this. That does not mean you cannot have an AC in a masjid. If it is especially in a warm region, in the entirety of Saudi Arabia, I can't remember seeing a fan. I don't know whether a fan can work there. It will be blowing hot. Because once you open the window, even in AC, once you open the window, in another 5 minutes, all of this place will be hot. I tell you, because of excess in Ramadan, temperature rose up to 40 degrees in Ramadan. Even today, just before yesterday, somebody was telling me that, look, yeah, it's hot now. At also children's departure point today, I was there up to the time of after when I left. I saw a woman selling suit, coat, and cardigan. Coat and cardigan. In 30 seconds now, they will throw it away. Even the color of the cloth you will wear now matters. You have to wear a color that is not retentive to heat. Now. And you hardly see people outside in the afternoon. Hardly, it's in the night. Even in hospitals, they change their schedule because it is extremely hot in the afternoon. When it blows a breeze in the afternoon, you will think that they are melting your body with warm water. You know the breeze. It's breeze, you know, but that breeze, it can kill a person. I tell you this.
especially those of us who came from, you know, look at us, the rain is falling, everything is cold, really dark. We should be thanking Allah for it. Allah has really blessed us. I tell you this. So if you have a masjid in places like that, everything will relieve the problems of the people. It will be easy. And other things of convenience for those who perform salah in that environment. But design, exterior, color, these are things, look at the mosque. You don't know where to look at. This is so ridiculous. May Allah forgive all of us. Makanun qasun lin nisaa fi al-masjid. A special place for women in the masjid. Is it allowed? My in-laws in the north don't create safe places for women in the masjid. This is not correct. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a place for women in the masjid, behind the masjid, at the back. That is it. Although they in Ramadan, they will create a space for them in Ramadan. But outside Ramadan, no. Clean your house. Yes, the house is the best place for a woman to pray. I was counseling a very aged woman today, just before they left. She was confused. I said, look, don't worry yourself to say you are going to the masjid every time. Do you know that a day in your room in Medina as a woman is better for you than coming to the masjid in Medina itself and in Mecca? Yes. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying to the women that وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ and that houses are better for them, where was he? Where was he? He was in the Tebu at that time. Where was he? He was talking about Mecca and Medina. Yes, behind him as the Imam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the homes, the hotel places are better for them, for women. If they come to pay the mosque, the reward they get is lesser. It means when a woman is in Mecca and Medina, because when you perform a salah in Medina, you have the reward of 6 months salah. If a person is praying Subuh, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha for 6 months, that is the time he will equal one Subuh you made in Masjid al-Nabawi. 6 months. 6 months. And if it is Masjid al-Haram, 54 years. If you pray one Subuh in Masjid al-Haram, the other man will pray Subuh, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Subuh, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Subuh, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha for 54 years before it's equal to you. Say the prayer for 2 weeks, how far? 54 years times the number of salah for. That is when the time the person will become equal. So it means a woman in Mecca praying in her room has more reward than even that one. Do we get the picture? So it is from the sunnah to use a place in the masjid for women. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, this hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. It is called Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو تركنا هذا الباب للنساء لو تركنا هذا الباب للنساء. I wish that we leave this door for women. So ulama said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam particularly reserve a door for women, then they will have a place. If they don't have a place, why would he reserve a door for them? You see that evidence that they can have a place in the masjid. This place is for women in the masjid. The evidence is this hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. And that is Mawla Abdullah ibn Umar, the fifth name of Abdullah ibn Umar. Nafi is in the Sheikh, the teacher of Imam Malik. Says, فَلَمْ يَدْكُلْ مِنْهُ إِبْنُ عُمَرَ أَبَدًا حَتَّى مَاتَ. Ibn Umar never went through that door till he died. So know it, yes. When you know this door, you let one way, they pass through. They pass through. They pass through the door that women use in the masjid. May Allah protect us. Kitabatu ayatul Qur'an ala jidari al-masajid. Writing the verses of Qur'an in the masjid, is he allowed? Yasin, while Quran is Yasin, it's not like that.
Is it allowed? Oh, Ayatul Kursi. Allah, la ilaha illa. So when you come into the masjid, first of all, read that Kursi. Is it allowed in the Sharia? Is there a masjid in Haram? But is it allowed in the issue? Sheikh Abu Abdullah Bakr Abu Zayd Bakr ibn Abdullah, he gave an explanation regarding this issue in his book Tafsir al-Du'a. This book Tafsir al-Du'a is a very nice book. I wish that our younger brothers in the higher institutions especially pay a lot of attention to the book Tafsir al-Du'a. He will discuss in the issues of Salah, Wudu, the Azkar that are connected to it and those things that are innovations. He took Abuwab al-Fiqh one after the other and he's talking about the innovation, all about innovation. Even about reading the Quran, he was mentioning those things that people do that are innovations and not from the Sunnah. So when he was talking about the Quran, the innovations people do with the Quran, he said, وَمِنَ الْمُفْدَثَاتِ. And amongst the newly innovated matters that people have brought, he said, كِتَابَةُ آيَةٍ أَوْ سُورَةٍ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. Writing a verse or a surah in the masjid, أَوْ فِي قِبْلَتِهِ, or in the direction of the Qibla. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. It may be in the direction of the Qibla alone. And it may be the whole Surah Yasin. Oh, it's a central mosque. It's Surah Yasin they took. Go. May Allah forgive them and forgive us too. It is wrong. It's an innovation. It says, أَوْ فِي قِبْلَتِهِ, or that they write that verse in the direction of the Qibla. أَوْ عَلَى الْمِحْرَابِ, or on the mihrab. You know what mihrab is. You cannot write something, verse of Quran on it. He says, I will minbar, or the Quran is on the minbar. I will bar, or the Quran is on the door. No, so we will write everywhere, but not the door. It is innovation, if it is a verse of the Quran. If it is not a verse of the Quran, what we will ask is that who sent you to write it? Allah is making that. So he says all these things are from Mustafa. He says, وَهَاكَذَا, and likewise, the same thing applies, مِمَّا أُبْنِسَ فِي الْمَسَاجِ, among those other things that people have innovated in the mosque. So كُلُّ هَذَا عَمَلٌ مُحْدَثٌ. All these are actions that are only innovated. لَا أَفَاسَ لَهُ فِي الشَّرْعِ. They don't have any form of basis in the Sharia. وَفِيهِ مِنَ الْمَحَادِيثِ. Among the things of evil that will arise when people do things like this is اتخاذ القرآن لغير ما أنزل له. People will take the Quran for something for which it has not been revealed. Allah has not revealed the Quran that it should be written on the walls of the masjid. The same thing ulama say about using verses of the Quran as ringing tones. Don't use Quran as ringing tones. Allah has not revealed the Quran to be used as a ringing tone. وَقَدْ يُؤَدِّي إِلَىٰ الْإِمْتِحَانِ. And things like that can lead to imtihana. Taking something lightly. It's everywhere. Try disturbing yourself. وَتَعْوِيلِهِ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِ الْمُرَادِ مِنْهُ. And people may begin to take meaning from that thing that is not intended. وَإِدَارِ الْمُسْتَنِينَ. It may even busy the people who are praying and distract their attention. So, he says these things are bad. All these are bad. He says, وَيَظْهَرُ أَنَّ الْإِسْلَامِ. It appears that these innovations that they innovate, because it has been long
People are categorizing it on the world. لِتَنْبِيهِ الْأُلَمَاءِ الْمُتَقَدِّمِينَ عَلَيْهِ. Because some of the earlier scholars have mentioned it. وَكَانَ مِنْ أَوَّلِ مَنْ رَأَيْتُهُ نَبَّهَ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And among the first of those that I saw was cautioning the people about that. Who were Ibn Battah, Al-Imam Ibn Battah. وَشَيْخُ الْإِسْلَامِ ابْنُ تَيْمِيَةِ وَالشَّاطِرِ وَغَيْرُهُ. Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam al-Baqir, they say, how much is he? Ah, say, how much is he? What is he? They said it long ago. Ibn Battah was among the fourth century ulama, fourth century. So from the fourth century, they've been saying that this is an innovation, stop it. And the people did not stop it. It continued until the life of Ibn Taymiyyah came, until the life of Imam al-Shafi'i, Abu Ishaq. They all came and began to warn the people regarding it. So that is about writing on the walls of the masjid. It's also wrong. It's very, very wrong. May Allah protect us. This is not only in Tafsir al-Du'a. Others amongst the ulama have mentioned that it is wrong. Like Shaykh Tayyidin, while in this book, Al-Masjid of Islam is also concerning it. It occurs on the page 31 to 32. That these things are wrong. Hukmu is the filing masjid. Hukmu is the locking masjid. Is it allowed to lock him up? And Rabbi Akamah is asking me that. Oh, that's a Bidya. Who told you that it's Bidya? That's the mosque. They are just locking the mosque. Who told them to lock the mosque? Who told you that they can't lock the mosque? So what is the ruling about locking the mosque? Is it allowed? Al-Imam Jamaluddin al-Qasimi, he has a book, Islah al-Masajid, purifying the mosque. It's available if you want. Islah al-Masajid by Jamaluddin al-Qasimi. Sheikh al-Albani did the taqreeb of the ahadith in that book, Islah al-Masajid. Very good book about mosque. And the ruling regarding them. He says, Ghalqu abwaq al-Masajid, locking the doors of the masjid, fil nahar, لا يجوز إجماعا. During the day, it's not allowed by إجماع. Then we ask, what is the evidence? You say what? إجماع. لا يجوز إجماعا. غلق المسجد في النهار. Locking a mosque during the day, they do my mother. It's wrong. He said, رحمه الله, إلا لضرورة. Except for a bare necessity. والضرورة تقدر بقدرها. And the circumstances of their necessities are only limited to their particular circumstance. That is, if the rural of killing, perhaps the mosque is in a place that is isolated. If they leave it after Salah, people will come and see. They can lock it and go. Because of the rural of protecting the things you have kept in the masjid. He said, Rahimahullah, wa amma fillahi. But in the night, فَيَجُوزُ إِجْلَاقُهَا. It is allowed to lock it. إِذَا كَانَ فِيهَا مَا يُخْشَى عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السَّارِ. If the masjid has something that we fear that a thief may come and steal it, so it should not even be restricted to the night alone. If it is during the day and we know that we can see something in the masjid, then we can say somebody should lock him up. One of the ulama say, oh, even this opinion, we can find a solution to it. Because the masjid can have surah, watchmen, security men, who are there to secure the masjid of Allah. In our own homes, don't we have security men? Don't people take security men? So if we take security men for the masjid, so that the masjid remains open 24 hours, then there is no blame, inshallah. But if we can't find a security man, but we lock the mosque by way of protecting and preserving the contents of that masjid that may be stolen if they are left open, then it is allowed, based on this position of Al-Imam Jamaluddin al-Qasim. And if there is no reason at all, we don't fear that they can steal anything, then it becomes prohibited bil ijma to lock a mosque. I think we are done with that. Now, perhaps we should stop here.
Otherwise, we have issues regarding Adab al-Mashi ila al-Masjid. We have think about the building of the mosque and the things related to it. How do we come to the mosque? Maybe we should mention one thing and continue from there. How do we come? What are the adab, the manner we have to observe while coming to the masjid? Ulama say the first adab we have to observe while coming to the masjid is what? Al-Ikhlas. Because coming to the masjid is ibadah. If you don't have Ikhlas, you see Allah will not accept it. Coming to the masjid is ibadah. Walking to the masjid. Can I do it now? Where are you going? After life, walking. It's ibadah. So you must have Ikhlas with it. And then the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, says, man atal masjida, whoever comes to the masjid, we show him, for because of anything, فَهُوَ حَزُّهُ مَنْ أَتَى الْمَسْجِدَ لِشَيْءٍ فَهُوَ حَزُّهُ مَنْ أَتَى الْمَسْجِدَ لِشَيْءٍ فَهُوَ حَزُّهُ Whoever comes to the masjid for the sake of something, that is his benefit. That is what he will gain. That is his portion, his share. If you come to the masjid for salah, that is your share. If you come to the masjid for a halqah class, that is your share. If you come to the masjid to say, oh, let me go and see my friends at least, that is your share. من أتى المسجد الخير فهو حظه. Whoever comes to the masjid because of something, that is his share from the masjid. That is what he will do. This is very important. Where am I going? This is from the meaning of wa inna ma li kulli imrin ma nawa. Every person will have the kind of result, the kind of reward according to what he has intended. So faman jaa al masjid ila al masjid. So whoever comes to the masjid, he says in the sabbath in the niyyat in sayyati for a particular intention that is bad, or he has to. That is what he will do. So since when we come to the masjid, let us make our intention pure and sincere for Allah subhanahu. If Allah will continue from here, the etiquette of coming to the masjid in our next class, we hope to conclude these rulings regarding the masjid in our next class, bismillah. Otherwise, we'll take a next class after the next. But I hope, bismillah, that we'll be able to conclude it in our next session, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك نعم امين عليكم السلام ورحمه الله وبركاته امين How will the place where the imam will stay be? It will be like how every other person has a place in the masjid. It will go in front of the people. That's all. If the place is flat, all flat, the imam will be in front of the rest of us. All of us will be seeing the imam. The companions, if they look at the imam, alayhi salatu wasalam, when they pray behind him, do we know that? Do we know that they used to steal and look at him? They look at him, alayhi salatu. They look at the Prophet Muhammad. So somebody is behind the imam, is here, you will see him. But if it's inside this context, you will not see him. Is it allowed to reserve a place for Juma alone? It is not Sunnah. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad, Al-Imam Jamaluddin al-Qasimi mentioned it as Ijma, that the only Masjid al-Jum'ah was that of the Prophet Muhammad in Medina. In Medina, no second Jum'ah Masjid. And we know that that masjid occurs, people have come to Salawat there. So people leave their smaller masjid and come to a bigger masjid for Al-Jum'ah. That's why those masjids are called Masjid al-Jami, the masjid in which Salat al-Jum'ah is performed. But to have a masjid for Jum'ah, except to have the issues of Darura. Like, where is masjid now? It's far away from the people. Except a have to live around there now. Otherwise, it will be difficult for them to have come to Salawat in that kind of a place. It will be very difficult. So, yeah, circumstance, and they cannot have a masjid inside their campus that will be as big as containing them for Salawat, for Salatul Jummah. So cases like that, we cannot say that such masjids are wrong. Because they can't have the light in the campus, and the place is a bit away from the people. Allahu A'lam. This is what I know now. If I know another thing tomorrow, I will say it. Alaykum as-salam. Okay. One design for Jummah. The masjid for Jummah is a masjid. Everybody should be praying there 5 times and Salatul Jummah. They could leave the smaller masjid. Or it could be adopted as masjid is there. It's from the sunnah that we have abandoned. Masajid who lived, the companions all had masajid do. Sheikh Khalid ibn al-Ambari has a book, Masajid do. The masjid that the companions had inside their houses. It may be a room inside the house. It may be somewhere around your gate. Abu Huraira had that radiallahu anhu. And it has a sunnah. When you go out, you make 2 rakats of nafil. When you come back, you make 2 rakats of nafil before you go into the house. Our brothers, Jama'at, they say this thing a lot. But I don't think they understand what it means. Allahu A'lam. Masajid al-Dur is the place for that 2 rakats of nafil. It was common amongst the companions, radiallahu anhu. So they perform 2 rakats while going out. While coming back, they perform 2 rakats before they come in again. Not traveling, no, going out of the house. It was common amongst the companions. If you go to Mustafa ibn Abi Shayba, you see a lot of asar in this respect. They call them Masajid al-Dur. And then you observe your rakat al-Fajr there. You are all other salawat, apart from Khamsu Salawat. The best place to pray is inside your house. Brother, all other salah. The only ones that are obligatory for you in the masjid and better in the masjid are the 5 daily salah. All other, the best place for you is your house. So if you have masjid with that, you can pray in adopt and pray in that masjid. So, one of those mosques, the smaller one, may be adopted by those around, Nawatu. They could make their Nawatu there and perform their obligatory salah in the main masjid where they will perform salah to Jummah. And then it is not correct. Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah discussed this, that it is not correct that people proliferate masajid in an area. And that's why he gave an advice that the older the better. The older be better. He said because the second one may be Masjid al-Dirar. Masjid al-Dirar is near one Muslim. Established based on evil intention. So the second one may be, but the first one is not likely to be because before it there was no one. So he said, Rahimahullah, the earlier the better. Sheikh Jamal al-Din al-Qasimi mentioned that in Islam in Masjid. The older the masjid, the better. May Allah protect us. Let's have one more question before we call it a day today, inshallah. Naam, alaykum salam. It was zikr din. Zikr din. Somebody says he does not know the meaning of padding in the budget. I don't know the meaning of zikr din in the Sharia. Do you understand what you say? I understand it, but I don't know it in the Sharia. Because you tell me, what is the meaning now? Anyway, what does it mean? The deeds for zikr. Are there deeds that have been made for zikr? There are different types of. There are the computer one now. You just press it. Bam, 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 bam. And there is one, the rope one. The rope one, there is wood. There is rubber. Different types. Which one did the prophet use? Who can tell me?
No, no, among those who came deep. Which one did he use? Eh? He did not use anyone, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad. And that is me, Fatiha Subha. Somebody abused us one day. Say, oh, my God, we said Subha. You know what I told him? I said, I'm not even laughing, Joe. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La Fatiha, la Fatiha. So there is nothing like victim this. Another sister victim this is Yahweh sallallahu. He was Aisha radiallahu anha recorded in Sahih Muslim that kana yadhkuru Allah fi kulli ahyanihi. In every condition, the messenger is remembering Allah alayhi wa sallam. Anywhere you see him, he's saying something, sallallahu alayhi. He's saying something, lam yakun. Many Muslims are gafilun today. They say, oh, if you hold the tasbih, it will help you remind you. Say, apalu niyani. If you don't hold the tasbih, you can't remember that. You have to remember Allah. Something has to be done with your heart itself. So throw the tasbih away. They don't have any benefit. In this book, there is 78 pages back about Tetubah, proving that it is a Judah. The same one. The one you see that is removed in a book and Subha by him was taken from this book. He only brought it out and said, the only thing. That's why you see it in Subha, Misriya, and it is printed in it. They bring it out and print it as a book. Otherwise, it is part of this book, the same one. The ruling of Tetubah. It's an innovation. It is stopping Catholics. They are the ones who have started from Catholicism. And not you, Father Suba, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, not you, Father Suba, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So any person who wants to follow him into his jannah should be like this. So if you ask, kill another woman for our war, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another man can warn him. We are very passionate about following him if you don't know. And anything that we did not do, we don't want to do it, if it is ibadah. So the messenger used to count his hand, alayhi salatu wa salam. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. The miskal, the breakage of these hands, are the things that he will count, alayhi salatu wa salam. One of it like this is 15, and he only counts the right hand, the yaminihi. Not right and left, right. So when you count 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, you have 15. If you count it 2 times, you have finished subhanallah. You only add 1, 2, 3 again to make 33. So you have subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar. You don't make Allahu Akbar 33 if you like to make it 34. If you make it 33, you end with la ilaha illallah wa ahdahu la sharika la. Lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer. So make it 100. But otherwise, you can make Allahu Akbar to be worse. That is all. You can do that on this hand. And then he said, Subhanallah, 100 in the morning. It is easy to count with this right hand. They made one right hand. The same as he said, sallallahu. Kaya no, shida, kere, the same as may Allah accept our worship. So there is nothing like this same thing. Today they modernize it. They put it in the hand like a ring. You'll be pressing it. I say, are you playing video game? I play somebody. I knew. I just wanted to call the person. I said, sorry, this is video game or what? You know, it's a smart. So our hands should be, because these hands, فَإِنَّ هُنَّ مُسْتَمْسِقَاتُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ. They will be asked to speak for you on the day of prayer. So they say, you can use me for Adhkar. I say, oh, everything in the Jannah. I am in Jannah, inshallah. May Allah make all of us from the people of Al-Jannah. May He forgive us our mistakes and our little assessment. All of what we have explained, may Allah make us understand better than we have tried to explain. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِكْتُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْهَدَيْتَمْ. The messenger sometimes will make dua after his summer.
There's a hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar in Amal al-Yawm wal-Layla that Abu al-Imam ibn Sulaym, and that Asar is Hassan. He used to make dua at the end of some of his sermons. Although he used to say, Allahumma qasim lana min khashiyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asik. This dua, ulama say this is evidence that we can make dua after a sermon. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنتَ الْوَهَّابُ Someone is very busy. Sometimes illnesses in the mind cause things like this. May Allah protect us. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنتَ الْوَهَّابُ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَن لَّا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. آمين.